We're beginning the sixth perek of Nazir, bottom Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Here in this perek, we're going to be starting to talk about the actual things that are usur to a Nazir. Till now, we've been talking about, of course, that a Nazir is usur to eat grapes and drink wine and to become tamei nes and cut his hair, but we haven't really gone into the details. This perek is going to deal with the details of all of that, what exactly is usur to him. It's not really going to focus so much on tumah, because tumah there's a lot to talk about, so that's going to be in later prakim, but it's going to focus more on, it's going to talk about tumah a little bit, but it's going to focus more on the other two things, and also at the end of it, we're going to talk about some dinim about his korbanos. So the Mishnah starts off, Shlosha minin asturin b'nozer. There are three types of things that are osur to the nozer. Hatumah v'atiglachas v'ayotzi min hagefen, becoming tamei nes, shaving his hair, or even cutting his hair, as we'll see later on in the perek, and anything that comes out of the grapevine. And the Mishnah continues, v'chol ha'yotzei min hagefen. Now, everything that comes out of the grapevine, so you're talking, for example, fresh grapes, dried grapes, peels, grape seeds, all of those, mitzayif and zemzeh, they all combine with one another. So what the shear is, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, but in other words, it doesn't have to be, for example, the Mishnah is going to go on to say in the next line that the shear is a kazayis. So it wouldn't have to be, for example, that a person ate a kazayis only of grapes. Let's say, for example, part of the kazayis is made up of fresh grapes, and part of it of raisins, and part of it of grape seeds, and so forth, then he'd still get malchus. Mishnah continues, ve'en chayev ad shiyocho min ha'anovim kazayis. He'd only be chayev only if he eats a kazayis of the grapes. And Tosfos explained further on that actually according to this opinion in the Mishnah, also the drinking, he'd only be chayev, even though normally by drinking we say the shear is a revius, here instead by drinking it would also be a kazayis. Because the Pasuk puts them together, because when the Pasuk talks about the dinim of what a nazir is and isn't allowed to do, so it mentions that he's not allowed to eat fresh grapes and dried grapes and wine and so forth, so the idea would be, therefore, that even the drinking then would be included also in the shear of a revius, or rather the shear of a kazayis. Tosfos, the Tosfos for this Mishnah are printed later in the perek, but the explanation is, how do you figure out a kazayis of wine? So you take the zayis of the appropriate size and you put it into a glass of wine and into a cup of wine, and you see how much wine, into a full cup of wine, you see how much spills out, and that amount would be the volume of the kazayis. Then the Mishnah continues, Mishnah Rishona Emeres. Now the original Mishnah had said, there were earlier Mishnayos long before Rebbe, and then later on you have eventually the Tanoim discuss things, and sometimes they change things. Sometimes we have Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona. We had an example of that at the end of Nedarim as well. So the Mishnah Rishona says, Ad sheyishter revius yayin, that he's only chayav for drinking only if he drinks a revius of wine. And then the same Tosfos says over there that actually the same thing would be as far as eating as well, that to eat also according to this Mishnah Rishona, he'd be chayav for only a revius. Tosfos actually wonders that Tosfos later on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, I mean, usually we have the Mishnah Rishona comes first, then the Mishnah Achrona. Why is the Mishnah doing it out of order? And also, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, Rabbi Akiva is going to mention Kazayis. So first we have Kazayis, like Mishnah Achrona. Then we go back to Mishnah Rishona. And then we go back to Rabbi Akiva. So Tosfos has a number of questions on it, and explains that no, when we say that ad sheyochem min ha'anovim kazayis, so no. So it wouldn't be like Tosfos' first explanation that the first statement in the Mishnah says that both eating and drinking would be a kazayis. Rather, what it would be is according to the beginning of the Mishnah, you would have that you're chayav only if you eat a kazayis, and that everybody would agree with. Then the machlokes would be as far as drinking. So now Mishnah Rishona says that only if you drink a revius, because usually, as with drinking, usually the shear is a revius. And then the Mishnah Rishona had the Mishnah Achrona would say that no, drinking is also a kazayis, and that would be what Rabbi Akiva says. That Rabbi Akiva goes on to say later, we'll have in the Gemara later on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, that Rabbi Akiva holds that the eating and the drinking are comparable, and therefore the shear has to be the same for both. So according to that, then the Mishnah flows more smoothly, because first it's telling us something that everybody agrees with, then it's telling us within, when it comes to the drinking, then you have a machlokas between Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona as far as what the shira is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva continues, says, Afilu shor a pizza b'yayin, even if the nozir soaked his bread and wine, the yesh b'kadil tzarif, and you have enough of the bread plus the wine together are enough to make up a gazayis, then chayev, then he'd still be chayev. This is a concept called heter mitzarif l'isur. So again, we're going to have a discussion of it later on in the Gemara, in a couple of blocks, where Rabbi Akiva gets that from, but there is such a concept that Rabbi Akiva holds, and it comes up in other places in Shas as well, that he holds of heter mitzarif l'isur. In this case, bread is perfectly mutter to a nozer. It's only wine and grapes and things like that that are also to him. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva holds that in this case, once the bread soaked up and absorbed the taste of wine, then it's included as well, and the total kazayas can be made up partially of bread as well. Mishnah continues, v'chayev ala yayin b'fnei atzma. Now a nozer is chayev for wine all by itself, v'ala anovim b'fnei atzma, and for grapes all by themselves, v'ala chatzanin b'fnei atzma, also for grape seeds all by themselves. Or we're going to see in the Mishnah soon what chatzanim and zagim are, v'ala zagim b'fnei atzman, and also for the zagim by themselves, which if we translate chatzanim as the seeds, then zagim would be the peels. We're going to see in the Mishnah in a minute that there are opinions that say that it's the other way around. Anyway, the point is he's chayiv for each one of them individually. So in other words, if he ate a kezias of any one of those things, then he would be chayiv malchus for that. You wouldn't say, for example, let's say in particular as far as the seeds, that the seeds are not something you normally eat. Maybe you would say it's not considered derech achila. Nevertheless, the person is chayiv for them because the Torah does mention them individually. Since the Torah spells them out, the Torah says mechatzanim v'adzog lo yoichol. So therefore, that constitutes a lav to not eat them. Rabbi Lozab and Azariah Eimer, Ein Chayev Ad Sheichol Shnei Chartzanim Vizag. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozab and Azariah says, a person is Chayev only if he ate two Chartzanim, which would be the seeds, the Zug, and the peel that goes together with them. And a reason for that, Velvel Brisker explains that it's a reason because he would hold that would be considered a beria. We know in the Torah, a lot of times you have, there can be an Isra Achila, and usually the Isra would be only a Kazayas, but if a person eats an entire Beria, an entire creature as it was, then he's Chayav for that alone. So here the argument is that the two seeds and the peel together make up enough to be considered a Beria. So, continues the Mishnah. Elohein Chartzanim ve'Elohein Zagim. What is the definition of Chartzanim and Zagim respectively? So the chartzanim would mean the outside, would mean the peel of the grape. Hazagim elu apnimim, and the zagim would be the inside, would be the seeds of the grape. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yehuda defines them. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's the other way around, and he says shaloi tita, that you shouldn't make a mistake. Think of it, the word zag is similar to the word zug, which means a bell. So kizug. So kizug shabahema. So you can compare it to the bell that you have around the neck of an animal. Hachitzen zug. The outer part of the bell is called zug. Vapnimi inbol. The inner part, the clapper that makes it ring, has a name of its own. It's called inbol. So therefore, by the same token, if we have the word zog in connection with the isurim of a nazir, we should assume that the zog means similar to a zug, means a bell, meaning the outside of the bell. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda would answer to that fine, but a bell is really only a bell, only if it has a clapper or whatever. Rabbi Yossi is saying that's the definition. That's the definition that's accepted by halacha as well. In fact, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Lozman Azaria agrees with Rabbi Yossi, and that fits together with what the Brisker Rav says, that only if you have, if you're talking about one peel and two seeds, okay, grapes that have seeds in them usually have two grapes. You have seedless grapes, of course, but you do have, when they have seeds, you usually have two of them, one on each side. So therefore, that together can be enough to be considered a beria, as opposed to if you have two peels, if you were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda's definition, then what would be the logic? You should have to have two peels and one seed, how would that be considered a beria at all? And therefore, that's what brings Tosfos to say that Rabbi Lozman Azariah agrees with Rabbi Yossi's definition. Okay, I mean, maybe it's not so negeh la halacha, since the halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah anyhow, but it might be negeh la halacha, for example, if they gave a person hasra, if they saw he was about to eat grape peels, and they tell him, that's also, don't eat chartzanim, then according to Rabbi Yossi, he's not going to be chayiv malchus because they gave him the wrong hasra, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then that would be the right hasra, and vice versa if they told him zog. Okay. Gemara starts off. We said shloisha min nasurim ben nazir ha'tumah cholov. So we say that among the things that are also to a nazir is things that come out of the grapevine. And the Gemara says, now you're saying that things that come out of the grapevine, hayotzim in agef and aim, you're saying things that come out of the grapevine are also to him. Gef and atzmai loy, the implication seems to be that the vine itself is not also to him. In other words, if the person were to eat pieces of the vine, then he wouldn't necessarily be chayav malchus. For example, if he eats the grape leaves, let's say, masnisin the loyfit of a lozer. In which case, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar. The time you're Rabbi Elazar Omer, and on the side over here it says maybe it should be Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer says, afilu olin v'lulavin b'mashma, that no, when the pasuk says that anything that comes from the grapevine is also to a nazir, it means even, for example, the leaves, olin is the leaves, v'lulavin means the younger, the young new growth. You have a grapevine has out of the woody stems, the grapevine has woody stems, which is why it's considered a tree in halacha, but then it has, they grow out of it little new shoots every year, where that way the branch grow longer, and also you have these little things that grow out of them that they attach themselves to that way by if they're near a fence, then they'll attach themselves to the fence that way, and that way they climb and so forth. So those kinds of things are called lulavim. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying that a person would be that the nazir would be chayav malchus for eating them also. Okay, so the Gemara says, what's the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? Why is Rabbi Eliezer including leaves and the lulavim and everybody else is not? So Rabbi Eliezer, Dorishu Buyu, Mi'uti, Rabbanim Darshi, Kloli, or Prati. Because you have this Rabbi Eliezer, Darshins, when you have, we know the concept we say it every morning in Davin, Klal, or Prat, or Klal, Yatadana, Lekena, Prat. There's many times in Shas we find there's two ways of understanding when you have a general statement like that, then you have some specifics, and then you have another general statement. There's two ways of understanding it. You can understand that it's a klal of prat, which means it starts out with a klal, where we were saying there's a general rule that would include everything. Then the prat tells us limit it only to the specific things that we had over here. Once we have another klal, then it tells us, okay, we do have to broaden it from the prat, because after all, we have another klal, but we don't broaden it completely. We only broaden it to include, we find what are the things that it mentions in the pasuk, what do they have in common, or what is something that we can say about them that has in common with other things, and that is how we're going to determine what belongs in that class, and therefore what is going to be included in the prat. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, we're going to talk about, if that's the case, why does the Torah need to do it in a way of klal or prat or klal, for example, why can't it just do the prat by itself, for example, or why can't it do a klal or prat? Well, we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But anyway, the point is, that's if we say klal or prat or klal. If we say ribui, miut, ribui, then it means we start out by including everything, ribui, then miut tells us to exclude certain things, the ribui then tells us include everything except whatever one thing we can find that is the least similar to the things that are mentioned over there. So in other words, with klal or prat or klal, we're going to try to find which things are similar in as many possible ways to the things that we listed over there. So therefore, we're going to have a much smaller class of things that are going to be included. We're going to have whichever things are in the pasuk, as well as whichever things are very similar to them. As opposed to with ribui, miut, ribui, we're going to include many more things that are very, very dissimilar from them, as long as they're not the most dissimilar. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar Dorish Ribui Umiyoti, so Rabbi Elazar Dorishin that way. So he says like this, B'yayin M'sheicho Yazir. So actually here it's not a klal or prat or klal, really. Here it's a miut and ribui, or prat and klal. So the Loza says, Miyayin Meshecher Yazir, when the Pasuk says he should separate himself from wine and from strong wine, Miyit, then that would be a Miyuk, that it would mean only wine and strong wine, Yayin meaning like grape juice, and Shecher would mean actual wine, would be also to him. Then the Pasuk continues, Mikola Sheyo Osin Gefen Hayayin, the Pasuk continues, anything that's made from the grapevine, Riba, so that's a Ribui that includes, that's a Ribui that includes many other things as well. And Tosfos points out, even though it is true that later on you have other things that are mentioned in the pasuk as well. You do have, after all, afterwards it mentions that he's not allowed to drink vinegar and he's not allowed to drink fresh and dried grapes and so on and so forth. Rabbi Lozer would hold, like Rabbi Lozer Bar Azarya in our Mishnah, that from that you learn that he's only chayev as far as grape seeds and peels, or maybe he eats two seeds and one peel, so therefore you only have a miut v'ribui. So you have miut v'ribui, so the word mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin is a ribui, therefore miut v'ribui, so we have a miut followed by a ribui. My riba, so what are we including? Riba kol mili. Then by that, we're including everything. We're saying that it would include anything that comes from a grapevine. Or my miyot, so what is the one thing that we're being a miyot? Again, when we have a riba miyot, it means that the Torah is telling us exclude one thing that is the least similar. So we could say miyot shabishta. So it's being a miyot, the actual grape branches themselves. So if a person were to take the actual branch and then bite off a piece of it and start chewing it, then he wouldn't be chayev, because that's the least similar to all the other things that I mentioned in the pasuk, are after all things that are edible or drinkable under normal circumstances. But we would say that we'd include the grape leaves and so forth, because the grape leaves, after all, in principle, are edible. You see, nowadays, when you have the, Sephardish cooking, right, they have stuffed grape leaves, for example. So that's Rebbe Lozer. V'rabbanan darshi klal uprat. Meanwhile, v'rabbanan are darshing in a way of klal uprat. They say miyayin v'shecher yazir prat. So you have a prat over there that only wine and strong wine would be osur. Then it continues mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin klal. So then it continues anything that's made from the grapevine. So that's a klal that should include everything that comes from the grapevine. Then when it continues mechatzanim v'abzog, it continues from seeds until peels. Chazer v'kolo, chazer v'parat. So that's another prat. Saying that only those are also nothing else. So now we're familiar with in morning davening and the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, we have klal uprat or klal. Here we're actually doing the other way around. We have prat or klal uprat. First a prat, then a klal, then another prat. So iatadon elakeina prat. So then again, we're going to learn from that only things that are similar to the prat. We're going to talk about later on. We'll learn in tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem, what is the actual difference between klal uprat uklal versus prat uklal uprat. On the face of it, with both of them, we're saying iatadon elakeina prat. So what's the difference between them? We'll get to that later on, Be'ez Hashem. But in any case, the Chachamim are saying that we doubt it like that. Again, Rabbi Lozer is going to say we don't have another miyot over here, because according to him, you're using the other things that I mentioned in the pasuk to teach us the din that Rabbi Lozer and Azariah said about the two seeds and the peel, as Tosfos points out. But now the Chachamim are saying we do have a prat and then a klal and then another prat. So therefore, iyat zedon alachena prat ma prat beforesh. So what do we have specifying in the prat? Pri upsovas pri. We have the fruit itself, the grapes, and we have the waste of it. For example, the seeds or the peels or for that matter the vinegar or whatever. Af kol pri. So therefore, we can include everything else that is a fruit. For example, we can include unripe grapes. And upsolus pri, we can also include anything else that is the leftover of the fruit. For example, the Gemara is going to mention soon about grapes that have been infested with worms. So you have to be careful of those. Of course, you can't eat them anyhow because there's a certain to eat worms. But let's say, for example, so you take out the wormy part. Still, the point is you're not allowed to eat the rest. But still, the Chachamim would say the leaves and the lulavim, those are never part of the fruit in the first place. Those are not pri, those are not psurus pri, so those are not included. So the Braisa continues, e maha prat mefurish pri gomer. Well, why then? In that case, maybe you should say that the prat is specified and was saying that and we're saying that it means that we're saying that it means that we're what are we doing? We're comparing with the Prat, and we're saying anything that's similar to the Prat. Well, what's mentioned in the Prat? Only things that are completed fruit, only things that are ripe fruit. Af kol pre-gomer, so maybe we should only say that the ripe fruit and the various things from it are also to the nazir, but not, for example, unripe fruit. So according to Tosfos, that is the question is, in other words, that so Tosfos first explains that the Braisa is asking that maybe in fact we should say that if a nazir eats unripe grapes or grapes that were wormy, then he shouldn't be then he shouldn't be chayev. Anyway, so Tosfos says that we don't want to exclude grapes that are woomy. Those it's true. Those are considered psoilus after all. But shouldn't we exclude boister, which is unripe, because that's not anything like what it says in the that's not like anything that it says in the pasuk, because the pasuk is mentioning only fruits that are completely ripe. So where are you getting to include to include unripe grapes? So the Gemara answers, the Braisa answers, Amarta, well, you have to say, Im ken, mahiniach l'cha akasav, mashmoy, shalai omre. Well, in that case, then what would the pasuk be leaving out that it didn't say? After all, the Torah already mentioned everything else. It said, Anovim lacham b'yveshim haksivi. It already says fresh grapes and dried grapes, raisins. Yayin v'chomet haksivi, and wine and vinegar, it also says. So Tosfos says, okay, we could still say that fine, it doesn't include, the pasuk didn't mention wormy grapes. But still, the fact is, you have, we said there are two kinds of prat. We're saying from the pasuk that we have pre and we have psoilus pre. We have fruit itself and then we have the waste of fruit. So fine. So from one of them, we're gonna learn wormy grapes. But what are we learning from the other one? So therefore, the Braisa says, so given that, ein alecha lodrim, kolosh and achron, ela kolosh and rishon. Of necessity, therefore, you can't learn, like the second loshon, to say that it's including, that it's not including anything, or that it's only including wormy grapes. We have to say that it must be including something else, and therefore that something else must be unripe grapes. Even though it's true, unripe grapes are not really completely similar to the, but nevertheless, the prat has to be adding something, and therefore that's what we wind up adding. So the Braisa continues. Well, then if anyway we're going to be including everything, because we already said that we're including anything that comes from anything that is from the fruit of the grapevine. So fine, we're not saying like Rabbi Elazar that we're including the grape, that we're including the leaves and the loving. But if we're going to say according to the Chachamim that from the prats or klal prats we're learning everything, we're learning even wormy grapes and even unripe grapes, then matam abayim mechatzan and madzog. Then why is the pasuk mentioning the prat at all? Why does it have to mention grape seeds and grape peels? It could have just said the kolasha yasim gekin ayayin, and would include all those things as well. The answer is loy malach, because that comes to tell you kol makom shata motze prat or klal, because it's coming to teach you not just for this case over here about nazir, but in general you should know throughout Shas, any time you find in the Torah prat or klal and you don't seem to find another prat afterwards, iyata rashoy lemoshfer ledunai, you can't pull it away from being a klal, a prat, a klal, and judge it. It's just keena prat. Now what would we say? When we have in morning davening the klal or prat, then it means ein b'klal, elamashu b'prat, means the prat, it means the klal is limited only to what's in the prat. So in this case, when you find over here a prat and a klal, and you have the other way around over here, you would say, if you said that prat or klal, normally prat and klal by itself would mean that we include everything. We start with the prat, but then we extend it to everything. Here, where you find a prat or klal, you can't assume that it just means that you should be kain a prat, that it should be similar to the prat. Ela nasa klal musaf ala prat, rather we say the klal is coming to add to the prat, and therefore it comes to include everything. That is the rule of prat or klal, that normally a prat or klal means that you include everything ultimately. Unless the Torah specifies for you like it does by a nazir, where here the Chachamim are saying you have a prat afterwards. So in other words, the fact that the Torah is putting a prat over here is not really needed for nazir. It's true. Without the prat, we would have already included everything that comes from grapes. Anything that comes, any grapes or products of grapes, we would have included. the point of having the Prat over here, rather, is to teach us about elsewhere, all over the rest of the Torah, that if you find a Prat or Klal, and then afterwards you find another Prat, then you should realize that it is meant to be judged like Klal or Prat or Klal. In this case, it's going to be a Prat or Klal or Prat, and you're going to judge it similar to a Klal or Prat or Klal, namely that you're going to include other things as well, as the Gemara is going to go on further on Lamed Hay, and on Daf Lamed Hay to discuss that point. So that's the Braisa. So now let's analyze the Braisa. The Gemara says Omamar, so let's see, we said in the Braisa, Maha Prat Mefurash Pri Upsovas Pri, we said just like the Prat is specified that it means the fruit and anything and the waste of the fruit, apko pri upsolus pri. So therefore we include anything else that can be considered the fruit of the grapevine and anything else that can be considered the psolus of the fruit of the grapevine. So let's figure. Pri means envy. The actual pri means the actual grapes themselves. And we know the Torah says that, because it says you can't eat grapes. Psolus pri might. Psolus pri maidi, what would we mean by psolus? What would we mean by the waste of the pri? That would be choymus. The Pasuk mentions that you can't drink vinegar, that a nozer can't drink vinegar. Then when we said af kol pri, we said also you have to include anything else that can be considered a pri, what would that be? And the answer is guharki, that would be unripe grapes. The definition of unripe grapes in halacha is generally speaking when they reach the size of a certain kind of white bean. So that's much smaller than the full-size grape is going to be, but nevertheless it's big enough to now be considered a fruit in halacha, so therefore we're saying the nozer is not allowed to eat them either. And when we say af kol psolus pri, when we say any waste of pri, we're including something else that's not in the pasuk. So what do we mean by that? Amar Kahana last three invi dichrin. So Rav Kahana says it comes to include, it includes grapes dichrin. Now on the face of it, dichrin should mean male. But all the Mephoshim over here explains that dichrin means that grapes that became wormy. How the word dichrin, in fact, the Rosh has a different use. So the word is not dichrin, but rather dikdum, which would mean that it would mean which is the word dikdum or dikadum or whatever the word would be, which would mean wormy. So then the Keren Ora brings another possibility as well. He says that it may be actually grapes that were burnt by the sun while they were still on the grapevine. So the point is, those are considered psolus pri, and therefore those would also be also as a result of psolus pri. Now, when the pasuk continues va'ad zog, when the pasuk says that he's not allowed to eat from grape seeds until the grape peels, we heard it in the Mishnah saying that zog means the seeds, but whatever. The point is, when it says va'ad zog, what are we learning with the word va'ad? So Ravina says that comes to include the bein habeinayim, the ones that are between. So what does that mean? So Tosfos explains that it means the flesh of the grape itself. In other words, the pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to eat the seed, you're not allowed to eat the peel, and you're not allowed to eat anything between them, which is the flesh of the actual grape. Although Tosfos then asks, what do you mean? The pasuk already says grapes, so what do we need to add that? So therefore Tosfos brings an explanation from Abinatam, and the Rosh says similarly that it means that these are small grapes that grow bein habeinayim, meaning between the other ones. They grow among the big ones, and they never actually get sunlight on them, therefore they never really become ripe. So they always stay small and unripe. So therefore we need the word vadzog to tell us that the nozer is also to eat those as well. In fact, Tosfos says, at least the boiser, the unripe grapes, at least those are eventually going to become full-size grapes if you leave them. These, because of the way they're positioned, they're never going to become full-size and they're never going to be fully ripe. So therefore, you would think that maybe he's potter, and therefore the pasuk is telling us that not. Tosfos continues that if we go back to the original explanation and say that bein habeinayim means the flesh of the grape, the point is that even if he gathered together a kazayas of it, you wouldn't say batla daita etzak adam. People don't normally eat grapes that way. No, we would nevertheless say he's chayav. And anyway, the Mefarish gives a different explanation. He says the expression "osid dabar hakorosh," this stuff that congeals between the zag and the charetzim, between the peel and the seed, and from it comes the dregs of wine. When you make wine, you have the dregs that sink to the bottom. So therefore, he defines that would be bena benayim. It sounds somewhat similar to what Tosfos is saying as far as the flesh of the grape, but maybe it's like some specific thing within the flesh that you tend to find. Maybe like around the seeds or something. Anyway, Ravina is saying you learn that from the word vadzog. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omamar, now we said in the Braisa, I maha prat mefurash pre-gomer. Now, at one point, the Braisa thought that since the prat is mentioning only things that are at some point a completed fruit, namely grapes, raisins, peels, seeds, vinegar, wine, etc., all of those are pre-gomer. Afko pre-gomer, so we would think that only things that are pre-gomer should be osir, and we said that they are therefore boiser, therefore unripe grapes are not included. And Braisa had said, Amarta, you have to say, in Kemainia Hakasa Mashmarish Lai Amru. In that case, then what would the pasuk have been leaving out by implication that it didn't say specifically? We have to be learning something from the prat, so therefore that requires us to say that we're including something that we didn't have before. So the Braisa continued, Anovim Lachem Viveshim Hoksivi, because after all, it specifically says fresh grapes and dried grapes. Yayim Bechemetz Hoksivi, it specifically says wine and vinegar. Ha Ein Alacha Lodin Koloshin Achron Ela Koloshin Rishin. So the Braisa had said then that you can't follow the last Loshin and say that it means only pre-gomer, elik loshen rishon. Of necessity, we have to go like the original loshen, that it means anything that's pre, upsodas pre. And the Braisa had continued, or my Achash said, the reason why the Gemara is bringing this whole, the Gemara is re-quoting the whole thing from the Braisa, in order to ask on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So actually, you know what, let's leave that for next time, actually, because we'll use that to ask the question, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will continue that in the next year of Ezra.